Hello, and welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We know that you will be blessed by the message that you're about to hear and pray that it helps you to leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
All right, put your hands together if you're excited to be in the house today. Thank you so much for being a part of our gatherings right here at Legacy Church. If you're in the building, we're grateful that you're here. If you're joining us online, you are a part of this experience. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much for being a part of our gathering here on what I hear is Super Bowl Sunday. Anybody excited about the Super Bowl? Yes? A few? Okay, a few excited ones in the house. Anybody know what you're going to be eating for the Super Bowl? Who knows already what's on the menu? Anybody already got something like brewing right now at home? Anybody some seasoned at home? Yes? Nope. Okay, I am having a wing competition today. Yes, my goal is to get to 100 wings. We'll see if it happens. Pray for me in advance. We're not sure how this is going to turn out. But it's going to be an exciting day as we watch all that unfold. But what I'm willing to believe is going to be even more exciting in the house today. Amen? All that God is going to do is speak into our lives. So before we get into the next installment of this series, I'm going to tell you about something very exciting happening at the end of our service called Serve Expo. Somebody say Serve Expo. You might not be as excited as we are about it. Let me tell you why we're excited about it. Because a gathering like this happens because of the faithful stewards of this house. You hear us use language for our volunteers like dream team members because they bring all this together. While you are tucked in your bed under your covers, while you're snuggled up to your honey pie, your sweetheart, your spouse, they were out here grinding, okay? They were setting up stuff outside and getting stuff right in the inside and our tech and kids and everything else. And so we want to ask you to join. We want to ask you to be a part of that. So after our services, right through these doors outside, you're going to see all the different teams that are available to serve in our church. And historically, how church life works is the vast majority of work is done by a few people. That's how generally it works. But we're believing God's going to spread the work out. We're believing that somebody's going to have a passion to serve once or twice a month and say, I'm going to not just build my kingdom, but God's as well. Amen? It's a great way as well to get plugged into the life of the church, make the real type of friends that hold you accountable and encourage you. One of our teams that we always highlight every single time is our kids team. You know, we're a church that believes we're raising up the next generation. We're just not telling them to come here, sit down, and shut up. No, we have services catered directly for them and curriculums. And so we hope that you have a heart for that and are a part of that with us. Well, we continue in a series called Family Matters. If you grew up and you saw that sitcom, Family Matters, maybe it'll bring back some nostalgia for you. But what we believe as a church is the church is only as healthy as the home. And the home is only as healthy as the church. And so we're going to walk through these series of conversations and talks. And I hope no matter what your background is, whether you believe it or not, you are welcome in this space. You are seeing the principles and the values, not from me and not from our church, from this book called the Bible that God has given us to live our life by. And if you appreciate and value anything you hear today, you want to go to this Bible and find out that's where all the content comes from. And so in the next few moments, we're going to continue in this message. If you remember last week, we were fighting for the right. Do you remember what it was? For unity. This week, you're going to fight for your right, not to party, but to honor. We are going to be homes of unity, and we're going to be homes of honor. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we would gather in this place and we would welcome the Holy Spirit and that you would listen and that you would come. And so, Lord, in these next few moments, our request is very simple. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, let every distraction internally, externally, Lord God, just be moved and let us hear what you want to speak to our hearts and our souls in these next few moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. I have a question for you. When's the last time you figured something had gone out of style? Like something was no longer relevant? Has this happened to you recently? Happens to me actually quite often in a house of three girls. Happens to me quite often. I'll put something on and my girls will say, Dad, that has gone out of style. I'm like, but what do you mean? I love these skinny jeans. And they say, Dad, skinny jeans were like 3 years ago. I'm like, well, what is the website you sign up for that tells you things are out of style? Does anybody know that website? Is there a phone a friend? Is there a text like stream you have to be a part of? I didn't know things were out of style. I put on not too long ago like some I don't know, some kind of sneakers. Can't remember what they were now. My daughter's like, you're gonna wear those out of the house? Like, am I not supposed to? Like, those are out of style. And so we live in a culture where things go out of style pretty quickly, right? It just comes and goes. Depending on your generation, things have gone out of style that you're working through. Anybody from the generation where you listen to a record player? Anybody from that generation, you dropped the needle and the scratch and the sound, a classic sound go ahead and try to find a record player or a record these days. If you don't know, it has gone out of style, okay? Is it coming back? Sorry. Clearly, I don't know that. I didn't know that. There's a fervor in the crowd. All right. This section right here after service, I'm going to listen to old Marvin Gaye records if you guys want to join them. What's going on, right? Yeah. So, okay, let me figure out a better example because that one didn't land. Let me keep going here. You guys make my job a little harder this morning. But things that have gone out of style, phone books. You have any phone books in your house? I bet you don't. Phone books have gone out of style because we have the internet. So back in the day, you needed a dry cleaner, you needed a mechanic, you thumb through and you found said dry cleaner or mechanic and gave them a call and say, what are your hours? What time are you on? And what you found out, if you're from this era as well, that phone books could double as a resource and capital punishment if you disrespected your parents. Anybody ever been hit with a phone book? I bet you didn't talk back to your parents again, though. I'm not saying it was the right way to parent. I'm just saying it worked. That's all I'm going to say. You did not talk back or disrespect. Those phone books were thick. You didn't want to come across a parent with a phone book is all I'm going to say on that one. How about the generation with VCR tapes? Anybody remember a good VCR tape? Like it was, if you didn't get this, you just missed out. I'm just going to tell you right now, you missed out. You missed out on the Blockbuster nights. You missed out loading in the back of the station wagon. And you go on a Blockbuster, and it was this challenge to the death of what we were going to rent that night. And they're about $2 or $3 a piece, and every now and then, mom and dad might splurge for not just one, but two Blockbusters that night, if you were lucky, if you behaved that week. And so for me, I was always getting the wrestling Blockbuster tape. I was always looking for Royal Rumble. And my sisters, they're looking for some like 80s heartthrob, they're looking for like Princess Bride or something like that they could watch. And so we're fighting back and forth, and we're going to see who's going to win. And then, it's not over there, you go to the checkout line where they have all the gummy bears and popcorn and cotton candy. All the, you would sell your soul to get a movie and some said sugary pre-diabetic condition candy that would put you in that night. And it would be a fantastic night. And these are great times. And I guess for our younger generation, I'm trying to think what's going out of style for you guys. You guys want to help? Like, what's not cool anymore? Anybody? Okay, I'm by myself. All right. So how about the iPod? You guys remember the iPod? Where you had to literally load like 50 songs or 100 songs. If you had 100 songs on your iPod, like you were doing it. Like you got through a full workout or a full bike ride or a full whatever, and you're like, yeah, I haven't heard that song in 3 hours. And then it would come back on. Now with our streaming platforms, you can have millions of songs. So I guess the iPad is out of style, or the iPod rather is out of style now, right? There are things in our culture that come and go out of style. Don't ask me, because clearly I don't know what's in style or not. Judging by the audience and judging by my home, I don't know what's in out of style. One thing, though, I have found that's going out of style in our culture is something called honor. Someone look at your neighbor and say, honor. Honor has gone out of our style in our culture, out of style in our culture, so much so that if you are a person who does not honor, you are probably in more friend groups and more social media groups, and people listen to you. As a matter of fact, people are paid in our generation to break down, dishonor, talk about, and just critique and gossip, thank you, and all these other things. Like, it's a job. Like, there's gossip columns, right? There's gossip websites. There's this whole social media page dedicated to not honoring, but breaking down, tearing apart, separating, whether it's family, whether it's marriage, whether it's people, whether it's you name it. This is part of our culture now. It's culturally acceptable and appropriate not to show honor. Let me tell you why that's a problem here for us. For us who are online in the building. The Bible that we read, the Bible that we pledge our allegiance and loyalty to, because it's the Word of God, breathed and inspired by Him. The problem is that from Genesis 1 of Revelation 22, do you know what it's embedded in every single word, in every single chapter? Honor. Honor. The Bible that we read is filled and built through the Hebraic home, through the Jewish home. And the Jewish home then, the Jewish home now, is built on what? Honor. And so when a society gets so far removed from honor, they remove themselves from the biblical roots of what God desires for his people. When the honor is removed from the home, you lose honor from not only the home, but the church. And when honor is removed from the church, you lose it from the society. And in every other place, it would seem as though it's more trendy. It would seem as though you have more to talk about. It would seem as though there's more conversations if we not build up but tear down. Not have honor and esteem and hold people in high regard and hold institutions in high regard and the church in high regard. But if we tear down, oh, we've got more of a conversation starter. We've got more to talk about. That's my girl. That's my guy. Oh, let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what I think. It would seem as though, where has the honor gone? Maybe you might know, but I'm not sure. In what generation did we lose honor in this country? For our elders, for our parents. In what generation did we lose it for those in authority over us, for first responders, for our church? Like, at what generation said, you know what? Honor's not needed. For the sake of this conversation and to understand this message today, I want to give us a good definition of honor. And this is what honor is according to the Bible. Honor is to esteem, to value, or to show great respect. To honor someone is to highly value or bestow value to them. And so with that understanding, with that framework, I want to talk through, and I've got to be quick with this, but I'm going to give you 10 different ways the Bible teaches us to express honor in the areas of life. And so as you read through your Bible, there's so many ways to honor, but these are the 10 top ones I think you can make an argument that the Bible teaches about honor. And I want you to take a picture. I want you to take notes. I want you to listen to the YouTube or the podcast, whatever that looks like, because you don't want to miss these ways that honor is going to benefit your life. And later in this message, I'm going to get into talking about how our homes are stuck. And part of why we're stuck is because we've lost honor. First way that the Bible teaches about honor is honoring the Lord. Hands down, you can't do anything else on the list that we're going to discuss today if you don't honor the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's several verses about honor. Malachi even says, the Lord says, you honor everything else in your life. What about my honor? And so we are to put God as a preeminent one above everything, over everyone. He is first and everything else is second. He is primary. As a matter of fact, he couldn't be secondary if he wanted to as a primary one, as the God in our life. Honor to the Lord is so significant. Next is honor for church and its authority. Do you remember the day where you would not speak about a church or a pastor? Do you remember those days where it was revered, like this is God's house, God's people, this is God's anointed? And how many of you know through social media, through news, through whatever, it is trendy to talk about church and that denomination and that different space and that person? At what point did the Bible say that was okay? Not a thing. I was telling our dream team earlier this morning, I had a new believer, and it kills me when I hear this happen to new believers. I had a new believer tell me something like this. They told me, I was telling a friend about the church I was going to, Legacy Church, and they said, oh, what denomination is that? And they said, it's a non-denominational church. And they go, oh, okay, so you go to the church where they make it up every week. They make it up as they go. And the way they came to me, they were so heartsick. They were like, they had just found Jesus. Like they were excited about everything going on. They were like, why would someone say that? And I think they were expecting me to defend us as a church, defend us as our choice to be a non-denominational church. I think they were defending me to tear that other denomination down. And my response was very clear. I'm sorry they feel that way, but when they told me their church, that's a wonderful church with a wonderful pastor and a wonderful space. Because what I wanted this new believer to understand is this. Our goal is not for people to come to our church. Our goal is for people to be churched. And if that's a church across the street, that's a church down the street, that's a church across the hallway, if that's any denomination, you fill in the blank, our desire and our goal is for people to be churched and have healthy homes. We've been called to build disciples and not buildings, and we'll do that every single week that we gather on a Sunday and everywhere else. But I would caution you, you don't want to welcome that kind of energy into your life and that kind of lack of blessing. You could even make a discussion around a curse into your life, speaking on the things of God, the people of God, or the house of God, because please don't make any mistake. Jesus died for this gathering. He died for the local church. He died for what we kind of flippantly hop in and out of. But please remember to honor your church, wherever you call. If you're visiting today, honor your church. The next is honoring parents and elders. Anybody come from that generation? Well, that was a non-negotiable. You honored parents and you honored elders. Where do you know where that came from? That came from the Bible. Like you came and somebody came into your house and you greeted them. Hi, sir. Hi, ma'am. Yes, no, yes, no. Like you asked them if they wanted a drink. When you're walking to a restaurant, if there was an elder behind you, you gave that. You opened the door for them. There are certain principles that many of us grew up with that are starting to dissipate. They're almost disappearing. In the Spanish culture, we have something we're taught when we're young. When we meet an elder, we say something like this. We say bendición, which means to bless me. It's recognizing this is an older and a wiser person. We're taught not to just push away our elders, but sit and talk with them. Hear their wisdom. We are standing on the shoulders as not just a culture, but a country of people who have gone before us. And we need to learn the values of what they learned and take that with us. But we have to bring the honor back into our culture when it comes to these spaces and these places of honoring our parents and honoring our elders. The next three are very important, but honor for marriage, husband, and wife. As you know, this is the butt of every joke in sitcoms, social streamings, and every kind of thing you can imagine. Marriage is a joke. I heard it recently said is that, marriage, that institution that fails just about as many times as it succeeds. You can be cynical if you want about marriage, but here's what you might want to know. Man did not create the institution of marriage. God did. It was God who put Adam and Eve together and said, what God has put up together, let no man tear apart. It is God that creates the vows. It is God that said a man will leave his parents and cleave to his wife. That wasn't man. And so you'd want to be careful, a husband and wife. You want to be careful, anyone who might attack the institutions, whether it's the church or the marriage that God has created. If you have some stuckness in your life or in your home, check on how you're treating what God finds important and valuable. Husbands and wife are similar to marriage. It's very trendy for wives to get together and talk about husbands and how terrible they are and what they're not doing. And yes, it's very trendy for husbands to get together and talk about what wives aren't doing and how they're just not what they used to be. You want to be real careful with those things because what God teaches us is that there's no coincidence in this life and that who God has brought into your life, he gave them to you. And you're going to have to believe that God wants better for you than you want for yourself. Someone say amen. Amen. Last couple here. Honor your children. The Bible talks about not exasperating your children. The Bible talks about not being so harsh. That live a life and treat them in a way that they would see and they would want your relationship with God. You know, you can pass a point where you're so harsh on your children, they may not want the God that you have or that you claim to serve. You can pass the point where children are like, yeah, I don't want what you're living. And so be careful and be mindful. I remember God told me one day in my time of prayer, he's like, show your children the same grace and mercy I have shown you. And that speaks volumes. The last couple are big. Honoring your boss, honoring government and authorities, and honoring people. I want to talk about the church, not even the world right now. We have entered into a subculture in the church where people aren't like us, look like us, worship like us, believe like us, from where we're from, our side of the tracks, our side of the country. We think we have authority to talk about them, be divisive, separate, just slander, smear. We think God blesses that? We think God honors that? No, actually, you're going to find in this message today, Jesus died for everybody. And the echo chambers that we get in about people who are not like us and think like us and vote like us and everything else, those echo chambers, if Jesus ever came and sat down at that table, do you know what he would say? But what are you doing to reach them? What are you doing to pray for them? How are you being an olive branch to reach out and welcome them in? Because whatever Jesus was preaching, teaching, whatever he was laying down, they were picking up. Because nobody was like Jesus, and yet they were being attracted to his lifestyle. Tax collectors and prostitutes and everything else out there, whatever love, whatever empathy he was laying down, they were picking up. Can that be said of my life? Can that be said of our lives? This is such a powerful symbolism in the Bible. You read it so many times, but what's so powerful about it is that it's also used synonymous with the word love. And we know how serious God is about the word love. Paul commands us to be devoted to one another in a brotherly type of love. You'll see this in Romans 12:10. A lot of scripture I'm going to be running through today, but it's going to help you. Romans 12:10, Paul says, be devoted to one another, honor one another. Watch this. above yourselves. That's why honor is hard, because we teach our children, we teach our culture, no, you first, me first, us first, our family first, our convenience first, our home first, our marriage first. No, like, let's reach out to others. Let's be an olive branch to others. Let's help and support. But Paul says to honor others, we'd have to see them above ourselves and treat them better. Honor is also a reward that God gives for life committed to him, Proverbs tells us. Proverbs 22:4 says this, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is, did you know? Honor. If we have lost honor in the home, church, or society, we've lost a major component of what God modeled. The home, the church, and society after. Every great society, every great culture, whether it was Rome or whether it was Athens, every great world power throughout history, once they lost honor, once honor was left from the home and the marriage was destroyed and they started changing things around, they fell. Every great kingdom fell. Our country won't be that kingdom. Our homes won't be that kingdom because we're going to restore honor. We're going to believe for our homes, for our state, and our country. Someone say amen. The home was first created by God to be a place of honor and a place that would administer blessings in that order. Before anyone came to a temple, to a synagogue, or to a church, they went to their home to receive, to give honor, to receive blessing. As they showed honor, they received blessing. You can see this play out in the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all gave their children blessings as their children showed honor. Receiving a blessing from one's father was a high honor, and losing a blessing was tantamount to a curse. You can see this in Genesis 27:38 when Esau, he despises his birthright and doesn't show honor. He loses the blessing because he doesn't show honor. And he says this in the scripture. Esau said to his father, bless me too, my father, as he weeps aloud. He misses the honor component and he suffers for that. I'll ask you the question, do you think you might be suffering missing one of the honor components in your life? The blessing always starts with honor. There's a story about Joseph in Genesis where he's sold by his brothers and betrayed, and he goes to Potiphar's house and then to jail, and through a series of events, he comes back on top where God always had for him to be. Remember, you don't have to claw your way to the top. What God has for you is for you. And he gets back to the top, and he has a chance to destroy his brothers and those who hurt him and stab him in the back. He has a chance to get him real good, but he shows honor to them and honor to his father. And we see something you don't see very often in Scripture. A father will bless his son, but you don't often see a grandfather blessing his son and his grandchildren. Watch this. Genesis 48:9. This is Joseph speaking. They're the sons God has given me here, Joseph said to his father. Then Israel, his father, said, bring them to me so I may do what? Bless them. He understood to show honor. He understood where the blessing comes from. Some homes are stuck and they can't figure out why. There's no blatant sin. You're in church, you're praying, you're giving tithe. Like, you're being faithful in these different areas of life, and you can't figure out why it's still dysfunction. You can't figure out why you can't move the dial forward. What is not working? I promise if you begin to open up this conversation, this dialogue with the people in your home and with God, you're going to see honor has left the home. You're going to see cynicism has replaced honor. You're going to see backhanded compliments has replaced honor. You're going to see all the stuff that's very popular in our culture, in our society, in our world, has seeped into the home to where honor has seeped out. Is your home a place of honor and blessing or dishonor and condemnation? Only you can answer that. Or we can give your kids the microphone. They'd answer that real quick. Remember when they were little, they say things, you're like, no, don't say that, don't say that. Mom and Dad were not fighting. We were just very excited in that conversation. Is your home a place of honor and blessing or dishonor and condemnation? Can I talk to the men first? Would that be okay? Men, you will stand before God. We will stand before God one day and be held responsible for bringing honor and blessing into our home or not. We will be responsible for bringing honor and blessing over our wives and our children in the same way that Adam was designed and commanded to be the spiritual leader of his home. You have been placed in your home to be the spiritual leader of your home. There's no time for midlife crisis. There's no time for the grass being greener. There's no time for looking to the left or to the right or your neighbor. There's no time for looking at everybody else in this world and what they're doing. You have a wife. You have children. You have home that you have been destined and put over. Your role is so significant in your home, I don't think you know how significant. Genesis 49:26 tells you how significant. It says this. It says, the blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of the oldest mountains and the riches of the ancient hills. Men, your first ministry is not your job, is not your pay scale, is not your role or your title, is not how strong you are, how many friends you have. Your first ministry is your home. It comes before everything and everyone. Your ministry is to bring honor and blessing into your home, the Bible says. And it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And we see this through the life of those in the Bible. And just as Adam was there with Eve to bring honor and blessing over her life, something, men, comes alive when you honor, when you bring honor and you bring blessing into your home. Something comes alive when you compliment your wife, when you compliment your children, when you say things like this, I love you and you mean the world to me. You feel a void in your spouse. You feel a void in your children that only you can fill. No wonder the enemy is trying to raise up fatherless generations. No wonder the enemy is trying to right now just pull apart marriages. No wonder. You are responsible to love your spouse as Christ loved the church, which means you are to build her up. You're to make her feel valuable. You're to make her feel beautiful. You're to make her feel respected. And the Bible says you are to lay your life down for her. That's a really high standard. And with that standard, I want to ask you, is that happening right now in your home? We give the microphone to the wives right now, right? Let them all answer. Is that standard happening? Is that standard happening? What I'm afraid of, if we gave the microphone to our wives right now and they were honest, some women would say, I don't hear that. I just hear what's wrong with me. I just hear how dinner could be ready quicker and sooner. I'm sorry, Courtney. Full disclosure, I'm sorry. She said, that's the first thing you said to me. I mean, how was your day? I love you. Full disclosure. I'm worried that they're hearing how great the coworker's wife is. I'm worried our wives are hearing they're not as sexy as they used to be. I'm worried that our wives are hearing, you can't keep these kids together in this house together. I'm worried our wives are hearing everything but blessing, everything but honor. I'm worried that we're not operating in our God-ordained role. I'm worried that our houses are stuck because the men have not brought honor into the house. We bring honor to sport. We bring honor to job, to income, honor to everything else, hobbies that we have. Do we bring honor to our spouses? I want to take just a moment and ask you a question, men. Do you know how hard it is to be a woman in our common day? I thought about this the other day because I hadn't thought about it before, but I have daughters and a wife, and I see the pressure they're under. As a woman, you're supposed to make a home and make a living. As a woman, if something's going on, it's the woman supposed to watch the kids and not the guy. Like, it's just very acceptable, right? If somebody is sick, she's supposed to miss time and not the guy. Like, it's so strange how our culture is so male-dominant, isn't it? God calls us to be the spiritual head of the house, but we manipulate that to say they do all the stuff we don't want to do. How did honor get sucked out of the godly home? Do you know? Because I don't. We live in a culture that says a woman has to look like she's 20 when she's really 40 or 50 or 60. We live in a culture where women are honored and celebrated on social media and on movies and on websites, and they are nipped and tucked and got all kinds of plastic. I can't imagine what it's like to be a woman. Eyelashes and Botox and this fake and that fake. And remember, men, everything we see on TV and on screens, it's all fake. It's lighting and it's cutting this and it's cutting that. It's not National Women's Day, but men, can we honor our women right now and just give them a hand? Let's give our women a hand. We can't imagine what it is to be you. We can't imagine what it is to be you. And men, let me just help you out. All the women on the screen, all the women that you see and that you hear about, they wouldn't put up with you. They wouldn't put up with you. That's why your wife is the one you celebrate. That's why she excels above them all. They wouldn't put up with your nonsense. They wouldn't clean up behind yourself, behind you and everything. Or hear what I'm saying, men. Let's begin to rightfully take our place in the home that God has destined for all of us. Men, you can't be blessed if you're putting down your wife. You cannot be blessed if you're putting down your wife. Why? Because she is spiritually connected to your waist. The Bible says she is tethered to you. So when you're putting her down, you're putting you down. Did you know that? When you're putting her down, you're putting you down. Ephesians 5:28 says this. In the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Do you know what that means? He who hates his wife hates himself. When you put her down, you're tethered together, you put you down. When you have issues with her, it really reveals the issues of your heart. This is not me, this is God. He's very, very clear in what this looks like. The scripture will go on and tell us this in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with what? Respect, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You push your wife down, you push your spiritual maturation and growth down. She knows I love her. No, she doesn't. You got to show it and you got to tell her. She knows I would take a bullet for her. Oh, really? So you're telling me you won't be the spiritual head of your house, so you won't take a spiritual bullet for her, but you'll take a natural bullet for her? No, you won't. No, you won't. And she doesn't need you to take a natural bullet for her. She needs you to take a spiritual bullet for her. She needs you to lead the home. She needs you to say, let's devotion. She needs you to say, let's go to church. She needs you to say, let's pray together. She needs you to come and repent for things you've said and things you've done. She needs you to take the mantle that God gave you. It's not, oh, my wife wants me to be this, wants me to be that. No, God called you to be that. God instilled in your very DNA to be a man after his own heart, to be a man that would teach your family what it is to bow before not sport, not income, not reputation, but bow before your God. Amen? Now, you can go home today and be so busy with the Super Bowl and say demeaning and disrespectful things, but this is what my military guys would call friendly fire. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You can say, not now, Christian McCaffrey is taking off, or not now, Patrick Mahomes is doing some really Patrick Mahomes kind of stuff right now. You can do what you want, but you're only hurting yourself. Studies and statistics show us that women and daughters suffer from low self-esteem at the hands of fathers and men who are not taking their godly position serious. Women, mothers, daughters are insecure, living promiscuous lives, still looking for the affirmation of who? Dad. Dad. Sons are doing stuff they should not do because dad was not just telling them, but showing them what to do. This might be a shock to the men. Women, you probably already know this. We already know your IQs are much higher, but your wife is not a mind reader, men. Your wife won't be blessed by the words you don't speak over her. Are you hearing me? Your wife won't be blessed by the words you don't speak over her. If God called you to bring honor and blessing into your home, that means there are words you're to speak over her. There's life you're to speak over your home and over your children, and they won't be blessed by the words you don't say. It was Solomon in his 8 chapters of the Song of Solomon that over 40 times he praises the strength, the beauty, the intellect, and the wisdom of his wife. So now my question, men, to you is this. Can you, in your home starting today, create a complementary culture in your home? Where it's not weird, but it's the norm. Where it's a complementary culture in your home. Where if conversations are going sideways, you bring it back. You say, hey, we'll discuss that later, not right now. We'll figure this out. You know what? Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I misinterpreted. No, I didn't say please and thank you. Like, whatever that looks like, you know what it looks like in your home to stop strife. Live to see another day. No one wins in war. If you can head off or curve off a fight, can I give you the best advice? Just do it. Just do it. I can guarantee you, from Adam to current, no man has ever won a fight with his wife by having the last word. It just hadn't happened yet. It just hadn't happened yet. There has not been a man that said, you know what, guys? I had the last word and I won that fight. No, that's never happened. It will never happen. And so we've got to figure out ways, men, keep the peace in our home. Do you want core memories of our children to see us going back and forth at each other? Do you want our memories to be that as spouses? Find fresh ways to honor, bless, and compliment our wives. Find fresh ways to do that. Be mindful. Know if their hair changes. Know if they have a new outfit on. Know if something's going on different. If the eyelashes are a lot longer than they were yesterday, compliment them on that. Don't know how it happened. Just compliment them on it. Leave that one alone, too. Just compliment. Leave it alone. I think for some of us, we might think, you know, my wife's been complimented a ton. I've given her a ton of compliments over the years. That's not how it works. Compliments are like bread. They get stale quick. Find fresh ways to compliment your spouse. Find fresh ways to compliment your wife. So for my wife, when we were in high school, she was one of the top in her class. She was homecoming queen. She was Miss Florida. Did you guys know that? Courtney was Miss Florida, right? So she's been, yeah, swung for the fences. Thank you. And she's always been taller than me, so in high school I just called her a trophy wife before she was a wife. Had to figure it out. But she's always been complimented. She's always been told how smart and how brilliant, how wise, how beautiful. She's always been complimented. But here's the thing. It doesn't mean that I stop complimenting her. And I work on that. You can ask the girls. They'll be like, that's cringy, Dad. Because I've got to make sure I'm operating in my godly authority, and I don't always do that. So I've got to figure out ways. I've got to have markers in the sand to compliment my wife and honor her, not just in private, but in public. So maybe when she comes up here and close out service, you guys see me wrap my arms around her and kiss her and call her names. Like, this is my way to remind myself. I'm to bring honor and blessing over her. This is my mandate. You guys know this Friday night, that's our night together as a family. We honor the Lord and we honor each other. And I make it a habit to honor her in front of my children. To let them know she is esteemed. We are blessed to have her in our home. She is not a short order cook, although she can cook really good. She's esteemed highly in our home. Solomon taught us with as men how we are to treat our wives in Proverbs 31. He says this. He says, her children arise and call her blessed. Do you know why? Because the father is leading well. So the children arise and call her blessed. That if dad esteems her, if dad lifts her up, if dad compliments her, if dad says how great she is and highlights what she's doing and not what she's not doing, well, we must also call her blessed. We must also esteem her. Men, it's time to tell our wives that there are many virtuous and capable women, but she surpasses all of them. It's time to bring that language into our home. And now for my ladies. All my ladies in the house. Where you at? All right. So if Taylor Swift or Beyonce said it, you'd be all over the place, but I get a half-hearted. Okay. Women, you stand before God one day. This will happen. You will stand before God one day, and you have to answer for the honor and blessing you brought into your home as well. Remember, when Adam and Eve fell, they were both put on the garments, and they were priestly garments. So you have just as much of a role in your home to bring honor and to bring blessing into your home. Proverbs 31:26 says this, when she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. How come it doesn't say kindness about a man in Proverbs? There's something innate that God puts in a woman that she's just so put together. She's the embodiment of the church. That's why the church is given female traits. Women, something comes alive in your home when you bring honor and blessing instead of dysfunction and condemnation. Something comes alive in your home. People just start to bounce around and feel good about life. When mom's happy, everybody's happy. When mom's not happy, that's a real saying. That's a real thing. Nobody's happy. You can laugh because you know it's true. When you honor and bless your husband and you say things like, I believe in you, and you say things like, I'm proud of you, if you've never seen a man run through a brick wall, watch. Because that's all we need as men, to know that our wife believes in us and is proud of us. As men, we get torn down every day. What we're not doing, what we won't amount to, what will not be like our peers. But if you've got one on your side and she shares your same last name, that's all you need. That puts you, that makes that you go from Clark Kent to Superman really quick. Every husband longs for their wife to be proud of them and to honor them. Wives, you might be thinking as I say that, yeah, I'd honor him. I'd be proud of him if he did something worth honoring. If he did something worth blessing, yeah, I'd be the first one to raise my hand. It'd be high time. But let me help you. That's not how God wired us as men. God wired us as the more you bless us, the better we do. The more you honor us, the better we do. The more you whine, complain, and as Proverbs says, nag like a dripping faucet, the worse we do. I didn't say that, by the way. Proverbs did. Wasn't me. Don't shoot the messenger. We're not wired that way. We need to be built up. Some of you might say, go call your mother. Why? Because we're wired that our mothers built us up, right? We're better to be built up instead of torn down. The more you honor him, the better you will do. You might want to see your husband like a boat in a harbor. The more you pour honor in the form of water on that boat, it will rise. And the more you hold back the honor in the water, it will begin to sink. Now, he might be in a rut right now. Let's speak to real-life situations. He might be in a rut right now, but instead of nagging and complaining, pour some honor on him. I challenge you, pour some honor on him today and see where he will go. Find something he's doing right and pour honor in on it. Find something, ladies, he's doing right. One more time. Find something he's doing right and pour honor on it. Say something like, I'm proud of you at that job. I know it's not where you want to be, but because you're there, we can meet budget. Because you're there, the kids have insurance. Because you're there, we can take a vacation. Find something to say that honors him. Say, hey, I'm proud of you. You're working on your anger. You haven't blown up in front of the kids. You haven't punched a hole in the wall. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You're at church today on Super Bowl Sunday. Can we give all our men a hand? I'm proud of you. And our men who are joining online, we're proud of you. Millions of men right now are manning the barbecue and getting all kinds of things ready and looking like the mascot of their teams and not getting paid to look like the mascot. I'm proud of you that you are in service today and leading our home well. He might be doing 10 things terrible, but if you find two or three things, you'd be surprised what that will do. Amen? And then you have to ask yourselves a question, wives. Maybe your husband is not reaching the full potential because his honor level is low, because he hasn't been encouraged. He hasn't been affirmed. You've not been pouring the water of encouragement over him. Eve was more than a trophy wife. God called her a helpmeet in the King James, but a helpmate in the other versions. He said, Adam, you can't do this by yourself. You need to be affirmed. You need to be encouraged. You need somebody by your side that doesn't just compliment you, but is a part of the plan and the purpose I have for your life. As a wife, you have the most powerful position in a man's life to encourage him or to tear him down. Please take it serious. Please treat your husband like you want some woman to treat your son one day. And women, you already know this, but this is just a reminder. You don't live with a mind reader. Your husbands won't be blessed by the words you don't speak over him. It works both ways. He will not be blessed. He will not be affirmed. He will not rise with the words you don't speak over him. And lastly, I want to say this. Stand firm in your relationships in a world where marriage is seen as disposable. Stand firm. Stand up for marriage. Let your marriage be an example. Do the hard work. Do the grimy work. Everybody loves anniversaries for this, for the Instagram, right? For every other social media platform. We love the trips. We love all the things, but nobody loves the hard work. I wonder how many marriages we have in here. Raise your hand if you're 5 years in your marriage. Keep your hands up. We're going to keep going. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. Let's just give them a hand right there, 45. Whoa. All right, 50. 50? Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any of those hands, if you're struggling in your marriage, go find one of those hands. And I bet you'll find hard work. But I bet you'll find enjoyment and peace and healthy families and healthy hearts and a life worth being proud of. Amen? Fight for your marriages. Fight for your family. Marriage is not to be joked about. Marriage is not a joke. Marriage is not something some man created and we don't have to take it serious. No, Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all. You don't get to tell me what marriage is. God says marriage is to be honored and esteemed among all. You find someone who's saying, you know what, I'm going to get married, encourage them. You find someone in a marriage, on the rocks, on the ropes, encourage them. God says, this is what I planned. Now, I know I've got my cynics here that we're going to work on your faith, and you're saying, this sounds great, but you don't know who I'm dealing with. You don't know him and you don't know her. You don't know what we were saying on the way to church. You don't know what he did this past week. I hear you. But I will offer you this. When you talk about the good, you only focus on the good. When you talk about the bad, you only focus on the bad. Well, that sounds real high and mighty. No, let me prove it to you. Men, when you were dating, you loved to take her out to eat. Because she didn't like to cook. And you didn't focus on that. Well, she still doesn't like to cook. But you were so in love with her that it didn't matter. Men, you thought she was so, depending on your generation, sexy, fine, hot, like whatever your generation used, you thought she was it. Because she never wore the same outfit. And always new shoes and new dress and makeup and hair and nails. You love that about her. And now you don't love that about her? That she will never wear the same outfit? Do you see the difference? There was a time you only focused on the good. And now you focus on the bad. So who's really changed? You. Our opinions. Women, when you fell in love with him, you thought it was cute to be his mom. Thought it was cute. He couldn't budget. He couldn't dress himself. Hygiene was hit or miss. You thought it was so cute. Why is it not cute anymore? Because when you focus on the bad, you only think about the bad. See, the beautiful thing about falling out of love with somebody is you can fall right back in love with them, with God. Remember the qualities that you fell in love with. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 5:18. It says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. That speaks to rejoicing in what you fell in love with them about. No matter what your situation is, do you remember the qualities you fell in love with? Do you remember the qualities that you were willing to pledge your life to this person? Rejoice in the youthfulness of your relationship and what led you to love them and to welcome them into your life. This might be the most anti-Valentine's Day statement, which, by the way, is coming up this week, gentlemen. Yes, yes, heads shaking. Yes, dinner reservations. I've already made mine. I've got 4 Valentines, my wife and my daughters. Make sure you do it. This might be the most anti-Valentine's Day statement you'll ever hear, but I'm just going to say it. Your spouse only gives you 90% of what you need. Your spouse only gives you 90% of what you need. The rest of the 10% is going to come in heaven. No one will ever complete you. The problem in our culture is men and women are leaving the 90% to search for the 10. They're leaving the 90% for the 10, and they find out that the 10 is missing the 90. That's why the statistics of divorce in second and third marriages are exponentially higher than first marriages. Why is that? Because no one's supposed to complete you. That happens when you get to heaven. The spouse that God has brought into your life will complete most things in your life, but full completion only happens in relationship with God. I want to close with this. In reproduction, you've got the male and the female, obviously. The male has two X chromosomes, and the female has an X and a Y. And so what that means is it's the male that decides if it's going to be a boy or a girl. Because how it works is if the male gives a female another X chromosome, it'll be a girl. And if the male gives the female another Y chromosome, it'll be a boy. So what message is God sending? God is saying, men, you have been charged to bring identity to your home. The woman has nothing to do with the identity of the child. It's the God-given and God-ordained right. We have generations right now running around and don't know who they are or what they are. Identity is one of the biggest pop culture topics right now because fathers are not involved. Because fathers, it's not just about the chromosome, it's after that. But God has mandated and charged us to be involved in their life. To know who their teachers are, to know what music they're listening to. Take their little AirPods that you bought, take that out of their ear and put it in your ear. When you take them to a friend's house, get out the car and go introduce yourself. When a boy comes to the house to take out the daughter that you have raised, let him know you'll be waiting for a timely return, a very timely return. And bonus points are given if she's returned earlier than you said. Be involved in their life. Be involved in their activities. I remember the girls used to do something when they were little that really bothered me until God gave me context. Whenever they had something on their mind, school or sports or friends or boys, whatever, they would come and just close my laptop and talk to me. I'm like, you didn't even ask them in the middle of a thought of what's going on. They just understood this. Whatever was on their heart was on my heart. Whatever was of value to them was of value to me. And so, men, let's not miss this opportunity to form the identity of our children, to form the identity of this next generation. We are charged, we are called, and we are led to do this. And here's my final question for you. Will you put this into practice today? Will you put this into practice? Here's your homework. I want you to say, I am so proud of you because you fill the blank. Whatever your home looks like, husband, wife, maybe you have roommates. I don't know what your home looks like, but you go to that home and you think of how to make it a culture of compliments, a complimentary culture, a culture that you're going to bless and bring honor to. That is your homework. What will you tell them you are so proud of? Lord, we pray that we are honoring you in this space, God. We pray that we have a spirit and a heart that brings glory and honor to your name. And we see how unity has left the home. We see how honor has left the home. And we pray in Jesus' name to restore not just the unity, but to restore the honor. So God, let your spirit rule and reign in our hearts. This is tough homework, God, because there are some things that have happened in the past. But we believe, God, all things are possible with you. Lord, help us from saying statements that only take 5 seconds, but that will cut for the next 5 years. Help us, Lord, to not have the last word, to bite our tongues, and to bring honor and blessing to our homes, because maybe that's the part that's missing. With your heads bowed, if you are far from Jesus in this place, we want to give you the honor to welcome him into your life. For some of you need to rededicate your life, and for others, it's going to be the first time welcoming Jesus. No matter where you are, this is the space for you, and we want to pray with you. So church, let's pray with those who are going to be praying this prayer. Lord God, we believe in you. We repent of our sins and welcome Jesus into our lives. Give us a hunger for your word and for discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a hand to all those who prayed that prayer today.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us at legacychurchai.org or on Legacy Church AI on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, Legacy family. See you next time.